You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, and Callie Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by two folks from the Great Milwaukee Public Museum. Madeline Anderson is the Director of Communications, and James Flores is the Manager of Tribal Relations. Good morning to you both. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Madeline, we're going to start with you. Halloween is next week. And I know that there is a lot of affection for the streets of old Milwaukee. You're doing something special for this Halloween at the Milwaukee Public Museum.
Yeah. So we, fortunately, the streets of old Milwaukee is already kind of set on a fall evening. So we've just added to that ambiance with some Halloween decorations, some fall decorations. But the best part is that it's all very, it's focused on what Halloween and fall would have been like in the early 1900s. Ooh. So, you know, much more historic than what you see today. So we don't have, you know, the flashy lights or the gore. It's, more crafty decorations. Everything back then was homemade. So we'll have some of the businesses, you know, with little Halloween decorations, and then Granny's house, for example, it's all decked out for a Halloween party. The mantle, you know, has some artwork, some streamers. She has some candy apples in the window. She and her granddaughter are both dressed up for the party. The granddaughter has a vintage Halloween hat on. And then outside her house, we have some trick-or-treaters. As well as a corn stalk made of crepe paper. One of our exhibit artists made that. And that's actually what people did back then. They made corn stalks for fall out of crepe paper. So was again, very period appropriate.
Was there a lack of corn stalks in the early 1900s?
Right. I don't know, but that was what they did. And then, you know, we've added a few. We did this last year for the first time. This is the second year we're doing it, where we're decorating for Halloween. This year we added a few more things. So some of the props, you know, they're not just eye level. You have to look up. We have 100 crows to kind of add to that spooky vibe. So a lot of those, you know, are on like the telephone poles and the wires and windows that are, you know, on the second floor. Some more black cats around the exhibit, some bats. So lots of fun, but you have to kind of know what you're looking out for. It's not going to be, you know, completely in your face. And then we also have some vintage from our collection. These are over 100 years old, some vintage cards that people would have sent back then for Halloween.
What kind of Halloween messages were they sending each other in the 1900s?
Right. You know, witches, a lot of moons on the cards. So you gotta come to the museum and see what they were sending each other. But well, it's really fun.
I love the idea too, Madeline, that you actually have to take a little time to really look around. So if you're gonna go visit the streets of old Milwaukee, don't go whipping through there because you're gonna miss some stuff. Yeah.
Right. You got to really be intentional and look in all the windows, and then you'll definitely notice, oh, yep, there's that and there's that. That's definitely for Halloween.
Well, and what I love, too, is the things that you display have all been donated over the years, right? That's how you come up with this stuff.
Yeah, most of the items in Streets of Old Milwaukee and throughout the museum are what we call our collections items. So these are the items that either have been collected by our staff, curators, researchers, or have been donated by the community. There are also props, though. Those are not collections items.
Sure.
You know, a mannequin, for example, or fake food is a prop. But yeah, a lot of them are these priceless collections items.
It's very, very cool. I love the streets of Milwaukee. The old Milwaukee is so much fun. I've been there so many times, and I still go there, and I can spend hours just looking around. It's very, very fun. And Halloween sounds like a blast there.
So when can people get in and see this, Madeline?
Yep, so the decorations are up, and it is included with admission. And it goes until November 2nd. So you have the rest of this week and then, of course, all of next week and next weekend, too. And then after November 2nd, we take it down and we start decorating for Christmas.
Well, at least I feel like, okay, November, we're getting closer to the Christmas time, whereas I saw Christmas Oreos last week in a store. I'm like, not yet. We're not even in Halloween yet. Let's just we'll get there. We always do.
Right. So. Let us enjoy Halloween. Right. First.
Exactly.
And poor Thanksgiving just gets completely skipped over.
I saw a turkey. It's fine.
We're talking to Madeline Anderson and James Flores from our great Milwaukee Public Museum, talking about all the doings they have going on for Halloween. So make sure you get to the Milwaukee Public Museum. Check out the great Streets of Old Milwaukee and their special Halloween display. James Flores, also here, the manager of Tribal Relations. James, tell us a little bit about your Native American Heritage Month and some of the celebrations going on involving that.
Oh, we have a great line of programming coming up for November. Starting off on Saturday, November 1st, we have our Three Rivers Powwow. It's free admission for everyone. Isabel Bader that day. And then also sponsorship from Forest County Potawatomi Hotel and Casino has really supported our programming for this month. And I mean, the powwow is going to be amazing. We're going to have dancers, drumming, singing, Indian tacos, crafts and vendors on the museum floor. It's just going to be a wonderful celebration to kick off Native American Heritage Month.
James, tell us a little bit. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but tell us a little bit more about the importance of powwows and why that is such an important of Native Heritage Month.
Oh, that's a great question. Yes. Powwows are celebration, social gatherings where we celebrate our history and culture through songs and dance. And it's really a time for Native Americans to come together, but also for visitors that aren't Native to come and see our culture and share in the celebration, maybe come out for a dance or two. And it's just really this cultural exchange. It's really just celebrating indigenous cultures, histories, and it's really a great social gathering.
So you do actually welcome people who might be rhythmically challenged to join the dancers at powwows. I'm just double checking.
Yes, you know, the MC usually says dance your style, dance your own style.
No judgment.
I'll just
zone.
Wave
no
my arms in a rhythmic pass. Now, Jane's asking the important question about how powwows are a part of your culture and bringing it to people who are not Native. I'm going to go back to what you just said before. Tell us more about the tacos. What is that? Like, what specifically makes that like an Indian taco? What goes into it? I'm just asking for research.
Okay, well, I think we've all had tacos here before.
Yeah.
And an Indian taco is, instead of having a tortilla, it's made out of fry bread. That part is fry bread. So it's dough that's fried. And it's really a treat to have. Okay. And we'll have Indian tacos there available for purchase. We have wild rice casserole available for purchase, among many other treats. And the vendors, if you're looking for I know we talked about Christmas earlier, not to push it, but you know there's going to be some amazing Native American artisans there with different items available for sale, and you might find something for Christmas
for somebody on your Christmas list. Let's talk a little bit about the regalia, James, because we talked to Paul Trebian, and he's going to be joining us again to talk about the holiday folk fair.
Yeah.
And the regalia is very important and tells very important stories, don't they?
Yes, yes. And that's our traditional clothing. And each tribe has, you know, floral patterns, different types of beadwork, different designs. And it shares a little bit of that tribal affiliation. And it's really, I think, a way of demonstrating that our culture is continuing to this day, and that, you know, when we wear these clothes, these are, you know, very for special occasions, and we really want to go out looking our best, and that I think If you come to the powwow Saturday, November 1st, you're going to see some amazing outfits.
The beadwork is so incredible. It really is. What a remarkable skill. It's so beautiful. That alone is worth checking out. And I can just see little kids being so excited about being able to take part in a dance circle. That would be huge.
Yes. I wish I had the patience for beading. You know, luckily I have relatives that can.
That's a long process, though, isn't it? Yes. I mean, that can take months to finish a vest or something. With all of that intricate beading, that's a lot of work, man.
James, when the month is done, when we're that specific celebration is finished, what else does the museum have that offers a connection to the culture of our Native American brothers and sisters? What can we find when it's not just that month celebrating you, but also just any day of the week, any time at the museum?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, just this past year, we had we brought in indigenous chefs who use indigenous ingredients and prepare high quality, healthy meals. That's an event that we've had. Other times we've hosted tribal members come into the museum for private viewings. We've posted our tribal historic preservation officers for the state of Wisconsin to come to the museum and beyond the state of Wisconsin. And I think for visitors, we're helping develop programming with our education department where we can have educators go into the classroom for as part of this offsite engagement and talk a little bit more about Native American history and culture.
It's fantastic. I took my niece and nephew to the museum last year for the dinosaur event. And after we were done there, we walked around the area that was showing all of the different, the huge powwow circle. And my nephew was enamored with the colors and everything about it. And I was like, we should just come here for that alone and let you ask all the questions, because he was so fascinated by everything he saw.
I just want to note that, by the way, that Greg wanted to see the dinosaurs. He used the niece and nephew as an excuse to go see the dinosaur exhibit.
Is there even a niece and nephew? Who's to say? Who's to say?
You don't have to take children.
No.
You can go all by yourself to the Milwaukee Public Museum and check out its fabulous, fabulous displays. How is the move going? Anybody want to touch that?
Yep. So we are busy behind the scenes packing still. You know, we, as I mentioned earlier, we have these priceless collections items. We have 4 million of them.
Wow.
So a massive undertaking, but the team behind the scenes is doing an incredible job. A couple months ago, I think they hit the 500,000 item packed mark. So definitely making good progress there. And then at the site, if you guys drive by it, you'll see that also is progressing rapidly. Yeah. I think it was just a year and a half ago, we had broken ground.
Wow.
And now the structure, you know, has reached vertical height, and we are in the process of hanging these giant concrete panels that are enclosing the building. And that'll be done, I think, sometime next month.
Wow.
So it'll look more or less finished from the outside by the end of this year. But then all the interior work gets going, and toward the end of next year, then those, you know, once the plumbing, the electrical, drywall's up, then we start putting in these amazing exhibits.
Madeline Anderson and James Flores from the Milwaukee Public Museum, thank you so very much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit after the 10:30 news, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will join us to talk all things sports. We'll talk about the Packers they're going to be facing off against our ex-boyfriend. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. I keep on forgetting he's not on the terrible Jets anymore.
No.
He is a...
He got another job.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Paul Noonan after the 10:30 news. We will end the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the tossing and turning edition. It's a good one. Calvin found that one. And then I want to thank... I got to pull this up real quickly so I can get his name right. I want to thank Peter, who sent in... Peter Metzler sent in a suggestion for a Tisbat that we're going to use tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And if you ever have any suggestions for a This Shouldn't Be a Thing or a guest you think we should have or some issue that is happening in your community, we do broadcast statewide.
We do.
You can always contact us and let us know about it at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Newsletters.
We got a newsletter, Jane.
We do. We have a new daily civic media newsletter, and it's completely free. You can subscribe to it for free, and then you'll get it every day in your inbox.
Yeah, all you have to do is go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and sign up right there. And it is growing, and we've only been out for about a month now, and people are signing up left and right.
Which is great.
It's a great snapshot of the day. You're going to find out what we were talking about on the shows, whether it's like some of that stuff is from yesterday, and then part of it, I think our show is on there from today, and you'll get it usually sometime later in the afternoon. But it's a great culmination of everything we're talking about, whether it's shows, podcasts, news of your area, special announcements, sports, weather, all that stuff is in there at Civic Media Today. Again, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up today. The newsletter is free.
It is free.
The app is free.
Completely
the
free.
The free app. I mean, my goodness. Okay, you download the app. You can listen to us anywhere.
I actually use it in the morning now.
Yeah.
Because WAUK, by the way, we've expanded our signal in the Milwaukee area.
Heck yeah.
And so we have Dan Haney, who's doing a great job on mornings now from 6 to 9. But I still like to catch Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah.
So I use the app.
Yes.
When I'm driving on my way into work.
There you go. But that also is free. I'm just asking a question here, Jane. Why are we charging millions of dollars for these things? I mean, it just seems like it could be a thing we do.
Because we want it. We want people to use it. And we want people to have it. But it's all free. It is absolutely free, as we say.
Yeah.
Yeah, download the Civic Media app. That is the way, by the way, I have a feeling. There might be another text to win contest coming
someday down the road.
Could be just a couple of weeks.
And that's the great thing about the app is that when you use the app, and like we said, you can take that app anywhere. We've gotten text messages from all over the world.
We have. It's really cool.
Vienna. We got one from New Zealand.
Philippines.
We got a Philippines one. We got East Brunswick, New Jersey. Everywhere you go, you can take the app. But also, you can also get in touch with us. You can call us through the app. You can text us through the app. You can leave a voice note, even if you don't like us through the app. Really, it's a great way to stay in touch with everything Civic Media. And like the newsletter in and of itself, the app, you can get news reports, notifications on the areas you live in and what you want to hear about. It's a very customizable app.
It really is. So if you live in Butternut.
We love Butternut.
You can customize it to the news in that area that you want to get. Maybe there's something around southeastern Wisconsin that you want to know about. You can get in, you can subscribe to that too.
Absolutely.
So like you said, you can kind of personalize it.
Yep. And
pick and choose.
It's always being updated, revamped, retooled to make sure it's the most up to speed, most app to speed. I'll show myself out. It's really great. I'm a fan of it. I have it. I've had it since the beginning, and it's just great. So, yeah, the Civic Media app, the newsletter, and also we know you're busy people. We know you're doing stuff. You might be listening to us in your car. You might be getting the kids to whatever they need to get to. You don't always have the time to listen to us live on traditional terrestrial radio.
And we get that.
Live on the app. You can always go to civicmedia.us/shows and you can find out you can find us there and download episodes and listen to them whenever, wherever you want. Our show, I'm pretty sure everybody goes back about 2 months.
So 2 months worth of shows.
And you can also subscribe to us as a podcast. You can do that. And then you have us delivered to your pocket every day, twice a day, all show long. You can do that anytime you want. It basically, what we're doing right now is we're telling you how you can stay in touch with us, whether it's the show, whether it's Civic Media. And also, just as a quick aside, I did not appreciate in the previous interview being called out for my love of dinosaurs.
Nothing wrong with loving dinosaurs.
Yeah, but I felt like I was being hornswoggled into making me feel like I was a lie. I have a niece and a nephew, and they love dinosaurs and butterflies too. And one of them thinks they want to be a monster truck. He doesn't want to work on monster trucks or drive them. He wants to be one. But yeah, I love dinosaurs.
And that's there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
The more you say it, the less I think there's nothing wrong. So
we have news coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins every other Thursday to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company's sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I am ironically at a technology conference and none of my technology is working. So there we go.
That it couldn't be better. That's kind of the perfect thing. Hey, I'm at a tech conference and none of my tech is working.
Hey, man, we're just going old school. It's like analog, but still digital. But you know what I get. Man, cool.
That's just the way things don't work, yeah. Paul. No worries. Let's talk a little bit about the Packers. We're going to be facing our ex-boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers.
We are.
On Sunday.
He has had a pretty good bounce back season. Aaron, I will always like as a player, not like as a person. Not a good hang. Not a good guy to have a beer
not
with.
Not a good hang.
But I do think Pittsburgh was kind of the optimal landing spot for him. In New York, he got to run everything. He got to hire his friends. He got to fire his enemies. And kind of ran things how he wanted to, but he's not a good coach, and he's definitely not a good general manager. In Pittsburgh, they run a very good organization. I think they're like second to the Packers in terms of organizational maturity. Mike Tomlin is an excellent coach. No one is going to say or talk back to him. He is very well respected. He is one of the best coaches of all time, honestly. And Aaron has played within himself. He's been really good. He's been a top 10 quarterback. He is not what he used to be, but he can still swing it every once in a while. He was throwing some lasers last week. The Steelers traded for DK Metcalf from Seattle in the offseason, one of the best deep threats in football. And he's averaging 18.5 yards a catch. He leads the team in targets. The ironic thing about the Steelers is they usually have an outstanding defense and kind of a medium offense, and it's flipped this year. Their offense is quite good, and their defense has been actually kind of terrible, and it is what has cost them games lately. So Aaron has been good. He's managed to coax one more season out of himself in a good environment, and it'll be tough for the Packers on Sunday. This is actually going to be a pretty tricky game for them, I think.
Well, and that's something that you just said with regard to Mike Tomlinson, and I feel like that's a conversation piece that's been happening since the days of Green Bay towards the end, which was it kind of felt like if you told Aaron Rodgers he was just the manager of head coach of the team, he'd be like, fine, that's what I want to do anyways. But with someone like him, you kind of need to have someone like a Mike Tomlinson who can say, I get who you are. I understand your brand, but this is my team and we will work together, but you will not push me around, period. I don't want to think that conversation happened in such an aggressive way, but I have to imagine that conversation had to have happened at some point. Or maybe does Aaron just know that implicitly?
So it probably did happen to some extent. And I don't know Mike Tomlin's exact coaching style here, but here's one thing we do know about it. No team is better at dealing with crazy people than the Steelers. They have had the most talented crazy people come through that organization over the last 10 years, from Antonio Brown, who like ended his career by storming off the field for, I think, the Bucks. I can't remember where he ended up. DK Metcalf is not like an easy person to deal with. They traded George Pickens away in the offseason. He's a Cowboy now. He is a very tough guy to get the most out of. They have quite a few guys on defense who have been sort of off the field red flags and who've all performed well. So I don't know what Mike Tomlin's secret sauce is out there, but usually people are on their best behavior in Pittsburgh, and when they're once they're gone or before, they are no longer. So they do a great job there, and it's honestly a competitive advantage. There are a lot of Steelers that other teams wouldn't touch that performed fantastically for them. Because of how they rub things.
So he's like the hard high school teacher. It's like, oh my God, you don't want Mr. Tomlinson. He's not going to let you get away with anything. Yeah. Yeesh.
Yep, that is pretty much correct, yeah. The one thing to look out for this week, in the last game the Packers played against Arizona, Arizona made just massive hay by picking on Nate Hobbs, the beleaguered current Packer cornerback, who was signed to be a slot cornerback. Those are the guys who play in the middle of the field. But the Packers have been playing him exclusively outside, where he has historically been kind of bad. I do not know why they're doing this. But if they do it this week, it's likely he gets matched up on DK Metcalf. And if that happens, they'll probably lose the game. It's honestly a game-losing thing that could happen. The Packers have a perfectly fine outside cornerback, Carrington Valentine, who they've stopped playing. He played two snaps last week. He is, as far as we know, healthy. And so they're playing this really weird, out-of-sequence cornerback alignment that needs to stop really, really quickly. Hobbs got killed last week, but I have a hard time blaming him. Like, he's playing a position that he is not as familiar with and not as good at, and I don't know why the Packers are doing that.
Yeah, that's – and Matt LaFleur doesn't seem to make a lot of those mistakes. That seems unusual that he would do that.
It is a little unusual, but there are a couple things that the Packers do wrong along these lines. One is they do stick with highly paid or highly drafted guys, sometimes a little longer than they should. The guy who does play the slot right now is Javon Bullard, who was a fairly high draft pick for them. Carrington Valentine, a very good player, was either a seventh rounder or a UDFA. He's a good story. He came from out of nowhere and turned himself around. And they paid a lot for Nate Hobbs. They traded for him, like real assets to the Raiders to get him. And so this may be an instance of just kind of throwing bad money after good money to try and get the most out of their big investments. But they got to stop doing it. They do this on the offensive line sometimes too, where they try and kind of force like guys like Jordan Morgan to play like outside of tackle when he's sometimes, he's in right guard right now. Seems to be a better fit. But they'll try and push guys like to get the most of value in a vacuum out of them, and it doesn't always pay off.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company is our guest on Matt Nair on Air to talk all things sports, and we're talking about the upcoming Packers game where they will be facing Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers.
And Paul, before we got on the air, I asked you to send over any articles or anything that you've been working on at the Acme Packing Company, and you sent something over to me entitled, "Why does Jordan Love not seem, quote, seem as good as he is?" What are your thoughts on this? It's his third season. We got a fantastic first season, completely unexpected. Last year, I felt like, and this is coming from a non-sports analyst, I felt like, okay, this feels like he's new. He's getting into position. But in the third season, what are you seeing that gives you pause when you think about Jordan Love?
So I have fallen on the line of, I now think he's underrated.
Oh.
And I think conceptually he's got a PR problem. Here's what it is. At the height of Aaron Rodgers' Packer stardom, circa like 2018, like end of McCarthy era, start of LaFleur era, the Packers would run on average about 75 to 80 offensive plays a game. At the end of the Rodgers tenure and the start of the Love tenure, they've been running about 68 to 65 offensive plays a game. And this year, they're running about 60 offensive plays a game. So from the height of Rodgers to now, they're down about 20 offensive plays a game because they run the ball more. They run the ball about 60% of the time, more than any other team in the league. That shortens the game. And they take forever to get up to the line of scrimmage. They almost always hike the ball with zero on the play clock. And so one of Matt LaFleur's things is shortening games. Because they do this, Jordan Love doesn't have the sort of normal counting stats you associate with a great quarterback. He rarely throws for 300 yards, but it's not really because he's not good at passing. It's just that they don't run enough passing plays for him to get to 300 yards. And I think it's really important to understand that about Love. When you look at his underlying rate stats, like on a per-play basis, he's one of the best in the league by the two best sort of advanced analytics metrics for quarterbacks, EPA per play and DVOA. He's second in both of them to, kind of ironically, Sam Darnold, who's having a good season for Seattle that people don't realize either. But a lot of the criticisms of Love are really based more on the Packers' pace of play than anything he's doing. He's quite a bit better than the common perception of Jordan Love.
I see.
And it's worth keeping an eye on that. Like, he actually has been good. They could stand to pass more. They honestly, their running game this year isn't as good as it has been in the past. They give away value by keeping this kind of weird balance, and they could stand to throw an extra 5-6 passes a game and boost those a little bit.
We're talking to the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan about all things sports. Let's move on, Pat, or Paul, for the time that we have left, and talk a little bit about the Bucks.
Undefeated.
Undefeated, yeah.
How many games have we played?
We played one.
Okay, one, okay.
We played one game, and it was against the Washington Wizards. So it was against Chris Middleton. It was good to see Chris again, who had a very good game, and there was honorific handed out. Giannis was awesome, had 37 points. Almost every Buck starter and top reserve scored in double digits. It was actually the Bucks, I feel like, are kind of tempered expectations wise this year. Had a nice off season, but they're getting long in the tooth. They are really strapped in terms of salary cap issues. This was a good first game. They played really well. There was a lot of good chemistry, a lot of spreading the ball. Giannis got 37, but everybody else got theirs too. Very up and down. So, you can't tell anything from one game at all, especially against a team like the Wizards. I might have said Nationals. I'm still in baseball mode. Sorry if I did. But against the Wizards. But it's a good start. It was a really impressive performance. I think if nothing else, the conference isn't that good, and so the Bucks still have opportunity if they can kind of bring some chemistry to the table and get one awesome season out of Giannis to go. And it was a good way to start the season. Bucks look good, and you can't ask for more than that.
It always blows my mind to hear you say, and I know in sport they're old, but again, for me, it's like, oh my God, they're getting long in the tooth. They're like 35. God.
Yep. Sports old is a different thing.
I know.
For sure.
The different aging scale.
Well, and something, and I will perfectly admit this, I didn't get a chance to read the story when I was looking up the Bucks. The headline said, who's going to score points after Giannis? And while Giannis did score 37 points last night, there were 133 points scored, which means the other teammates scored the majority of those points. Is that really a concern about major scoring, or is it just about the fact that they'll just have another person, maybe, regard if Giannis goes away next season, someone comes in his place and becomes that big scorer, but they still have good scoring behind them being done by other players?
They do. I still think could use one more decent three-point shooter, but they're pretty well-rounded. They're kind of a weirdly put-together team at this point, but they do have a lot of good scorers. It is also based on Giannis, though. Like, I do think without Giannis, this doesn't work as well. He draws so much attention. He makes things so much easier for everybody else. And he's a good passer. Like, he's good at setting people up when he's in the mood to do so. he makes the whole thing run, and he will until he's not here.
Calvin. Calvin's our biggest. He's our biggest NBA fan.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little concerned about having a second go-to guy as far as scoring. What's his name? Kevin Porter Jr. looked good, but he got hurt in the first quarter, so hopefully that's not too bad. But yeah. I'm interested to see where they go. I think they have a lot of length that could contribute to them actually being a pretty good defensive team.
Yep, agree with that. Turner edition looks like it might be really well put together too. So
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. Thank you so very much, Paul. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Tossin' and Turnin' Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only, Kel Zone, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow, it's Friday already. The weeks are just going whoosh.
It's whooshy. I feel like anything that rhymes with it sounds weird. It's just whooshy. And then before we know it, like literally we were talking about it with Madeline Anderson and James Flores. It's Christmas. I saw Christmas Oreos on sale. I've turned into my mom. It's too early.
It's too early. Yep. Dan Schaefer will be here.
And he'll be upset about it, too.
He probably will be. No, Dan Schaefer is going to be here tomorrow. He joins us at 9:30. He is, of course, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area.
Multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. I don't know why I said it like that.
Lots of awards, though.
He is covered in awards.
Yep, he is covered in awards. Dan Schaefer will be joining us tomorrow. Lots and lots of things to kick around, including, I see, Jill Underle has come out with a response to the report in the Cap Times. I think that's where it started.
Oh, absolutely. This report came out last week. We talked about it like within the day of it coming out. 200 investigations, investigation of 200 teachers basically being thrown into a drawer and no one hearing about it until the Cap Times doing a wonderful, I think this is going to win them an award too. This is some amazing investigative journalism. And it was sort of the thing of, where's Jill Underle, who's newly elected to the DPI head? And she has come out with a statement, and we'll probably be talking about that, but also other things, probably election stuff. Who knows? Maybe, real quick, I realized something. We talked last week about the project, the road project.
Yeah.
There are like 5 road projects in Milwaukee County happening. That is bonkers.
You're not going to be able to get anywhere.
No!
Listen to the radio. You're going to be in the car a lot.
Yes.
We're all going to be in the
car. We'll be your best friend.
We will. It is, Calvin, just about 10. It is now 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, like our friend did.
Yeah.
Send it in to Greg and me.
You're really excited to talk about that tomorrow.
I am. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from the Washington Post. Calvin found this one from Leo Sands. Headline reads, smart beds flipped out during the AWS outage, and so did their sleepy owners. Some 8 sleep mattress users had a rude awakening after the Amazon Web Services outage with reports of beds that got stuck upright and temperatures going haywire.
First of all, I just want to say I think my favorite tisbats are always the ones that come from the most respected news outlets where it's like, this coming from the BBC. Monkeys are smoking more. You know, it's like, I love it when the award-winning papers are like giving us these, because all I'm thinking about is how do they turn this into a movie? And you might say, Greg, how is that possible? Look up, Google something called deathbed, the bed that eats people, and you'll know why I think this could be a very, very financially sound reboot.
I think you might be onto something. For a few hours early Monday, there was an outage at the Amazon Web Services that triggered a cascade of error messages and system malfunctions across the internet, showing us pretty much how we depend on our providers.
Yes.
The rudest awakening, however, felt by those sleeping on 8 sleeps, high-spec internet-enabled mattresses. As the outage caused cloud servers to fail on Monday, people reported being awakened in discomfort by beds that locked upright, became unbearably hot, blinked flashing lights, or sounded wake-up alarms continually.
Or if you put your ear out there, you heard, I must eat my master.
Matteo Franchetti, who is the chief executive of 8 Sleep, says, quote, that is not the experience we want to provide, and I apologize for it.
Okay.
8 Sleep also makes and sells internet-enabled mattress covers and pillow covers. He explained the malfunctions were the result of this outage. Engineers racing to build an outage-proof mode should this happen again.
But if I would just think, and I'm not a smart person, I am the opposite of smart. I would think if the internet service just stopped, like when my internet goes out, Jane, I can't get YouTube on my TV.
Right.
Things just stop. My bed doesn't become like sentient exactly. And start doing what it wants. And it's like, I must be hot now.
The 8 Sleep internet-enabled mattresses allow users to adjust the temperature between 55 and 110 degrees.
Well, you know, some people are cold.
Elevate their body into different positions, activate immersive soundscapes.
Oh my God.
And also vibrational alarms. The most advanced product bundles sell for over $5,000 in addition to a yearly subscription that can cost between $200 and $400.
It's a Peloton bed.
In order to enable the temperature controls.
Whack-a-doodle. Just give me a pile of feathers. I will sleep on that instead. I'm fine. $5,000.
Why? This seems like a bad thing.
Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Computers are relatively dumb, says the creator of this bed. They'll do what you tell them, but if you don't tell them what to do, they just run around in a panic. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be...
We're going to keep talking about it.
We're getting late. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it here. News is coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.